Hello, welcome to the third episode of the Blackburn Rovers podcast. There's only two of us tonight, myself, Stuart Grimshaw, hello, and we've got Mick with us tonight as well.
Hello, everybody.
Cool. So, it's been quite a while since we've done one of these. Plenty to talk about. I think first off, we'll go through the win over Bolton last weekend.
A particularly good win, wasn't it, Stu?
It was. I think so. I mean, Bolton, they're not exactly a bogey side for us, but we do find them hard to beat. And to beat well like that, I think, is a really, really good result.
Yeah, well, we're hoping it's not the only team that that begin with B that come from the northwest of England that we managed to do the double over this season. But we'll come on to that later, I'm sure. Now, what was pleasing for me is Rovers actually played football. And I went to the Stoke game, and what disappointed me about that was they seemed to go out with the attitude that, right, Stoke are a big, rough, physical team, so we've got to go out and have a rough, physical game, which ended in us losing 3-0 and having our roughest physical player being sent off for two really quite innocuous clashes, really.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to play the ball along the floor, I mean, you imagine getting the ball to Kalinic or DeSanto's feet, and they'd tie Ryan Shawcross or any of these other oofers up in knots. But they didn't, you know, let's try and win an aerial war. And, you know, there were aeroplanes going into Manchester Airport that day that had to divert away from the Stoke region. The balls were so high up in the air. But the thing with Bolton is we passed it around them. And where we needed to, we kept Kevin Davies quiet, which is always particularly satisfying for Rovers fans of a certain vintage.
Yeah, no, I think it was a really good, solid victory. It puts us, what, is it about 11 points clear of relegation?
Yeah.
It might be a bit premature, but I think we're probably safe now.
I think that's fair to say.
There's a lot worse teams than us below us. Portsmouth, who are probably going to go, is it tomorrow they're going tits up? So
they could do, yeah.
That's one place already taken.
Yeah, Burnley's obviously taken, and then there's a lot of bad football going on down there. But we've got a pretty tough running. Yeah, we've not had a great record against teams above us in the league, and I don't think we've got that many below us left to play. So this nice little run of home form, I think, has hopefully relaxed them, and they can start playing football and stop going into these games in such a siege mentality.
Yeah, I think it's exactly the right time to be playing Liverpool as well.
Oh, I can't wait for that. It's going to be good. You know, it's funny, isn't it? You go into the games against some of the best footballers in the world, Gerrard and Torres, but you kind of hope that they're not on the top of the game. You hope that this grueling trip to Romania will have taken it out of them tonight. You hope that that Torres picks up another of his niggles, even though, you know, we're paying to watch football in the best league in the world.
But even then, Liverpool aren't exactly playing at the top of the game at the moment either, and I think if we play, you know, as well as we can play, defend as well as we can defend, I think we'll give them a run for the money, regardless of whether they're knackered after tonight. But we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, they're very frustratable at the moment, aren't they, Liverpool?
Yeah.
They've seen that in, I think, the last two games. Teams have defended, you know, the way Kalinic is playing at the moment, he seems to be able to pluck a goal out of thin air at the moment, which is just fantastic.
It is. He's come good, I think, over the past few games. Whether it's a bit of a purple patch that he's going through, or whether it's something he can keep going till the end of the season and hopefully past the end of the season, I don't know. But
I don't know. If for those of us who propped up our eyelids with matchsticks and stayed till, once again, the very bitter end of Match of the Day on Sunday night, we will have heard Slaven Bilic, the Croatian manager, talking about Kalinic and saying how much he rates him and how much he sees him as a great prospect for the next generation Croatia team. Yeah. So we share that goodwill. But isn't it annoying that we're always last?
Always. It always
is. It is always, isn't it?
There's a game that's boring, turgid, 0-0, two or three chances throughout the whole of the game, and it's the second game on. I'm talking about Liverpool Man City. I feel sorry for fans of those games, because that's 90 minutes of their life that they're not going to get back.
Never.
And then the BBC make us sit through 15, 20 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And it must, they must, you, I think the programme editors really earned the money that day to find that amount of footage that was, I say, worth showing, but it wasn't really, was it?
No. No, and I live in Marple, which is where Manchester meets the Peaks, which the Peaks then meet where you live in Sheffield, Stu. And it's big city territory around here. Our bins are collected by Stockport, though the locals tend not to put that on their addresses. Yeah. They put Cheshire. But it's big city country around here, so I know a lot of city fans. And they haven't a good word to say about that game. Yeah. So why on earth the producer of Match of the Day thinks it's worthy of second slot?
Well, it's because it's two big teams. Well, one big team and one rich team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why it's up there, and it'll always be the same.
Yeah.
Blackburn Bolton, even with three goals, is never going to be as attractive. And I think they've got the mentality where they put the games on that they think will get the most viewers.
Yeah,
and I don't think they appreciate that most of the people that watch Match of the Day probably just watch it for the football. They're not watching it for one particular team, and they want to see a good game. Yeah. They want to see a lot of goals.
Well,
it's a highlight show after all, you know. It's not the kind of show where you tune in to watch a whole game.
No.
You want to see that highlight.
It's to be honest though, I was actually, knowing that we were going to be doing this podcast this week, I was actually secretly quite pleased because it fuels my sense of righteous indignation that I can then come on here and say, once again, I'm indignantly offended that Mark Lawrence and his sofa pundit should deign to put us on last. Even if he's not involved, I still blame him, by the way.
Yeah, it winds me up. I mean, it's not so bad nowadays because everyone's got a
BBR
that they can stick it on, haven't they? You can watch it when you wake up in the morning and just fast forward through the boring bits, but it's not the same.
If they put us on first, most people would fast forward for us then, wouldn't they?
Yeah, to get to Liverpool Man City.
Anyway, enough of the media, eh? Enough of the media. Do you know what I took out of the game? Was Keith Andrews. And I know on this pod he's come in for a bit of jit before.
Yeah.
He is a Division 1.5 player at best. He is Ince's mate who got dumped on Rovers. And he's probably not quite earned the right to be playing at Premier League football and picking up a Premier League wage cheque. However, he did a good job. He did a good job. I'm not one of those people who boos him. I think that's disgraceful.
Yeah.
Because it's not his fault. He's playing out of his league. It's the players that don't perform when Rovers do badly that should be criticised.
Yeah.
But no, I thought Keith Andrews stepping in to the biggest pair of boots on the pitch with Ryan Nelson going off.
Yeah.
Captain Marvel, or what do they call him? Admiral Nelson.
Yeah, the Admiral.
I'll tell you what. I did worry when Andrews went into centre-half position. You know, why didn't he bring Chimonda on? But apparently the message came down, no, stick Eamon Andrews at centre-half. And Bolton was sufficiently worried about it that they stuck Davis on the wing. So obviously he could smell the pies when he was trying to get a bit nearer than that.
Baguette. Oh. So, I couldn't quite believe it when I heard it either. When I heard that Nelson had gone off and then they mentioned Andrews, I just assumed he was still playing in midfield. But you say he had quite a good game, don't you?
He did, yeah. He didn't do anything wrong. He looked like a rabbit in headlights, but then, well, he usually does. But no, I thought he slotted into his role well. Doof played well as well, who's not a player I'm particularly fond of.
No, I don't like him either.
Hoylett bottled out a few challenges.
Hmm?
Hoylett bottled out of a couple of challenges.
Yeah.
But we took the game to them and we were worthy 3-0 winners, which is not something I've been in a position to say for a long, long time.
Well, yeah, at least a season and a half.
Yeah.
If not longer.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. You know what really fuels my dislike of Kevin Davis? This is going off message a little bit. But for my last significant birthday party, for reasons that are far too complicated to go into, I invited an old friend I used to work with, who now is the live-in partner and father of the children of said Bolton lardy-arsed football centre forward. The message came back that she would not be able to attend my birthday party, as Kevin was away with the team. And she had better things to do on a Saturday evening than hang around in a hotel in Salford on her own. The hotel in question, it was in fact the Lowry Hotel, the five-star Lowry Hotel.
Yes, I'm not, lovely hotel.
I'm not rich or flash or anything, but we did think we'd push the boat out a little bit. And I did point out that were her and Kevin to attend, it could be the closest he ever got to staying at what was then the England team's base camp hotel for their games at Old Trafford. And never have that couple dared to darken my door again. So I took particular delight, once again, in seeing a Kevin Davis calamity at Ewood Park. Not that I'm bitter or anything.
No, you don't sound bitter. You sound quite quite balanced and sound like you've moved on from that particular your life.
Yes.
Speaking of moving on, we made a note earlier on in the show notes that we were going to talk about Junior Hoylett. There's been quite a lot of chit chat recently on the Vital Blackburn forums, and there's been an article or two about him not signing his contract. There seems to be agents involved again, not necessarily doing what's best for the player, doing what's best for their wallets, and it worries me because the club has put a lot of time and effort into developing Junior Hoylett. I mean, he joined when he was about, 13 years old?
Yeah.
And he's now in his early 20s. He's been still at the club.
Still got 13-year-old's boots, though, hasn't he?
Sorry?
He's still got a 13-year-old's boots.
Yeah, I don't think he pays VAT on any of his kit.
No.
And it's like almost 10 years worth of development that we put into this player. He could have gone at the end of the season and Rovers would have had nothing out of all that investment. It'll have been quite a bit of investment when you think about all the training he'll have gone through, the physio, all the coaching they've given him and development they've given him. It'll probably add up to quite a lot of money. And then we'd lose it because some money man can say, if we argue over this contract a bit longer, he can go and we can take a bigger cut if he's signing on fee.
Yeah.
I'd be a lot happier if more players acted as their own agent.
It would be a nicer world if it did, but the money, the stakes are just so high. And it's this game of cat and mouse with the clubs. Rovers have to get the best deal for them. They need to incentivise him. But let's look on the bright side. He's seen sense and he realises he's got a decent future at Blackburn Rovers, and hopefully he'll turn in some good performances for us. I'm pleased he's got a chance. The worst thing is that we could have got sucked into a turgid relegation struggle where Sam doesn't see the value in playing a young player like him, a 19-year-old, and sticks to what he knows. We grind out a few draws. As it is, he has played and he's looked pretty good. I don't think we've seen the best of him.
No.
But at least he sees a future. Because it's two-way, isn't it? Everything you say is right, but he's got to feel that Rovers believe in him and that we're not, the Rovers board are offering him a decent deal, that he's got a future with us. Because there's plenty of Rovers players who've left, who've come through that academy system, who we have, as you quite rightly said, invested a lot of money in their training and development. And they have walked away, but they're earning a living now, playing for Crystal Palace or Swansea or,
Scunthorpe. Not Premier League players, either.
Not Premier League players, no, no. But I think he's proved it, and it's good that he signed for us.
Yeah, I think it's good to his credit. I mean, you'd like to think he's sat down with his agents and said, listen, Sunshine, you work for me here, not the other way around.
Yeah.
I want to play at Blackburn. I'm going to sign whatever contract they've offered us.
I don't know. I'd love it if we had a team of David Dunns and Colin Hendricks, people who've seem to take a greater pride in the shirt and the badge than others. I was disappointed when Paul Gallagher went. You know, I'd like a team to be made up of kids who've come through the academy. It's a fantastic resource. It's a legacy that Jack Walker gave to Rovers.
Yeah.
You know, that £3 million a year that his trust give to us mean that we can have an academy and not have to set that out of the sky money.
Yeah.
So we can just pay it in wages to the players and their agents to build their large houses in Alderley Edge, Knutsford and Prestbury. And the Ribble Valley, of course.
I think a lot of them just also need to appreciate that it's not 3 or 4 years ago. There's not the money sloshing around that there used to be. And no. I'm talking about the agents as much as the players.
Yeah.
And they need to appreciate that he's not necessarily going to get a much better deal personally if he went to another club. The agents, obviously, they'd make more money out of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Yeah.
I'm pleased he's committed to it, and I'm pleased on the whole with Allardyce's signings. I wasn't so sure maybe the last time we did this podcast, but on balance, they seem to have all come good.
Yeah, I think the first time I saw him play was pre-season at either Leeds or Sheffield Wednesday, and he was
that's keen.
Sorry,
that's very keen. Pre-season friendlies.
I know, it's close games to us, really, living over in Sheffield. Mm. But he was by far and away the best player on the pitch. He reminded me of Duffy when he was at his best. You know, the way he used to take players on and cross the ball, and he'd cut in and take a shot. And, you know, like the goal he scored for Fulham the other day.
He scored for Fulham today.
Classic Damien Duff.
He scored for Fulham today.
Has he? He scored again, has he?
This, of course, being the 25th of February 2010. Mm. Yeah. No, they've been playing in Europe, haven't they? At Shakhtar Donetsk in the deepest, darkest Ukraine.
Mm. Mm. I was watching Everton 0-0 before we started this.
Just looking it up on the Tinterweb. Anyway.
Yeah. So, the other thing that we had down to talk about tonight was Rovers against Burnley.
Yeah, I got my letter through yesterday,
right,
saying that because I've been to at least two away matches, which I have, well, I paid for tickets through the Rovers to go to two away matches, Bolton and Hull. The other away matches, I tend to go prawn sandwich with the corporate fat cats. And I'm a season ticket holder, means I qualify. And the amazing thing is in the maths that anybody who fits that description, season ticket holder, two away matches, is guaranteed a ticket.
How many tickets have Burnley given us then?
That's the question. I was just thinking it must be about 5,000.
Yeah, good. And Rovers generally have quite a good away support, don't they?
Man City was terrible this season.
Yeah.
Hundreds rather than a couple of thousands. But yeah, Bolton's great support this season. Hull was good support. You went to that, didn't you?
Yeah, I took a little lad with us.
Very good.
Yeah.
Stoke has a lot of support, but obviously it was tarnished by the tragic death of Stephen Taylor, Stephen Taylor, which was really just took the shine off everybody's day. It's such an appalling thing to happen.
Yeah.
You set off to go to a football match and you end up dead. It's just it's unthinkable, isn't it?
And to think he was another Rovers fan that did it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a mate of mine was a witness to it who saw them larking around and stuff. There was apparently no malice intended, but that's what happens when you start arsing around and chucking stuff about, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, we thought there'll be none of that nonsense at Burnley.
Yeah, I mean, I've not been to a Rovers Burnley derby since, I'd say, I was in my early teens, and a close friend of the family was a massive Burnley fan.
Oh.
And so we'd go and sit with all the Burnley fans.
Very good. And then, full Rovers kit on, I hope.
No.
I was
a bit old. If I was a bit younger, I might have got away with it. Because I have my dad with us as well, and I think he was old enough to know better. And then in the return leg, we'd all go and sit in the top tier of the Riverside, and watch it from there. And this is, you know, this is back in the days when local derbies were reserved for Boxing Day.
Oh, indeed.
You know, it's quite a while ago, and we still had the old Riverside with the with the seats upstairs, and I've not been to
you need room. You need to stop. I'm welling up. Got a lump in the throat. Nostalgia ain't what it used to be.
You know, I used to be able to go on to the old Riverside and watch the end that Rovers were shooting at in the first half, and then walk the length of the pitch and watch the other goal for the second half. And can't do that anymore.
Oh, them are the days, eh? No, but I'm weighing up whether to go to Burnley. I don't think I've mentioned it this before. This is a house divided. Mrs. Taylor is a Burnley supporter.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, a dad's in denial about it. He's left the country, but that she married one of them. Yeah.
No, I didn't know you'd married a dingle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I bet you've had the best of the bragging rights then over the last few years, haven't you?
I have indeed.
I can't.
It's not even up for discussion.
When was the last time she had bragging rights then?
Never in our lifetime.
I'm not rubbing it in, obviously.
No, me neither. I don't.
So go on, no. are you going to go this year? Or?
Yeah. I'm just slightly apprehensive about giving up a day of my life and suspending my civil liberties for the purpose of watching a game of football. But it's like a habit that's set in. I've not missed a Rovers Burnley derby since 1977. And I don't want to miss the last one in the Premier League.
I don't like watching football in an intimidating atmosphere. It's no atmosphere for me. I'd much prefer watching it with friends who were Burnley fans.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got that right atmosphere then. But where there's a bit of needle and an undertone that something might happen, it holds absolutely no appeal for me.
No. I'm part of me, and this might seem a heresy to a lot of Rovers fans who listen, part of me hopes that we can have this rivalry with them forever, obviously. I'm not completely naive. But maybe unfamiliarity has bred contempt to an even greater degree than it has. And maybe the fact that we'll play them every season in the Premier League, unlikely as it now may seem, might actually just take the sting and the nastiness out of it. Maybe it'll stop someone getting a proper kick in. And maybe a few less bobbies will get to put down payments on their holiday homes in Spain as a result of the overtime they'll earn from this match. You know, it is just a football match between two teams that are very similar, that are supported by people who are very similar.
Yeah.
You know, despite all the banter, let's just get a sense of reason into this. But it doesn't mean I don't want to beat them any more than I do. But I just like to just take the nastiness out of it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that they don't come around that often makes it more attractive for the TV, and they like to stick their oar in, and they like to make more out of the needle than necessarily is, and that puts ideas in people's heads. That makes people think there is more to this match.
Yeah,
you know,
that it's acceptable, and that they forget that maybe they work with people who support either team, or may indeed even be married to people who support the other team. In my case. I can see us going there and getting a result now, whereas I might have been a bit anxious about it a month ago.
Yeah, I think we've turned a corner, haven't we? Really.
Yeah.
We're not going to set the Premier League on fire, and I think, you know, we're probably there or thereabouts where we'll be at the end of the season. Maybe a few places higher up. But it's like you say, we seem to have run out of teams below us to play. You know, we've not played most of the top four twice yet, have we? So
No, but with less at stake, maybe we'll go into a game like Man United at home and, you know, catch them on a Rooney suspension.
Yeah.
Or you know, or another bad day.
Yeah, maybe we'll be lucky and we'll catch him on a Juve suspension.
Yeah, that's
right. Maybe someone else can take the corners, and the person whoever's marking the front post at corners doesn't finish the game with a sore head from heading all Juve's corners out of the way.
Yeah, they're like back passes, aren't they?
They must practice it, and they must practice it that way.
They must practice it on a much smaller pitch than the one they play on.
Yeah, you don't know why he takes corners like that.
Yeah, Pedersen took a good corner.
He was just as bad.
He was for a bit. Yeah.
The only person that we had that was half decent at taking corners was Dunny.
Yeah. Have we paid homage to the departed? Have we crossed ourselves and bowed our heads in honour to the departure of Benny McCarthy on this pod? Should we? Are you going to say Benny who?
Benny Hill.
Benny who?
Benny who? No, I think I was right, actually, Benny Hill. The orders of pies have gone down at half time.
Well, Kevin Davis got them all, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. No, we've not covered it. I don't know, to be honest.
Nice bit of business, wasn't it? Really.
Yeah. How much did we get for him? A few million.
Don't matter. He's off the payroll. Is the main thing. He must have been on a good screw. Yeah. Look at us sitting around now. We know what we're talking about with players' salaries. Eh?
But you're right. No, he'll been on a good wriggle. He won't have been on threatened certainly. Maybe he was paid in pies.
Maybe he was. Maybe he was. Right.
Excellent.
Well I think that's quite upbeat, wasn't it? We've had a good chat.
Quite a good podcast. Maybe it's because we didn't have John and Mikey with us, bringing it down, lowering the tone, doom and gloom.
Maybe.
So hopefully they'll be back with us next time.
Yeah.
Mikey's working tonight, so that's why he's not with us. But no, that was a good podcast. We'll say goodbye for this week, and we'll catch you again next time. Thanks very much for joining us.
Lovely. Thanks a lot, Stu. Bye. See you again soon. Bye bye.